Acts chapter 24, we're going to start at verse 16 this morning. We're dealing with Paul's arrest and trials. Now, before we get into that, I want to remind you that Paul was right where God wanted him to be. Okay? We are also right where God wants us to be right now. Let's not forget that. And let's realize that he is in control of our lives, just like he was with Paul. Paul's arrest and trials began with his being assaulted by the Jews and rescued by the Romans in chapter 21. In chapter 23, the Lord assured Paul that he will testify about him in Rome. Now, he's a long way from Rome when that was given. That was when he was in the confinement in Jerusalem. This assurance was followed by a plot to kill Paul, of course, that was defeated by God before it ever got off the ground. It was exposed by Paul's nephew. That night, Paul was transferred to Felix in Caesarea, about 90 miles away. And remember that everything Paul was experiencing was God's will for him. So, what are you and what are I experiencing at this point in our lives? Every one of us has something in common besides being here this morning. Each of us was born on the day of God's choosing. And we were of the gender of God's choosing, in spite of what people today want you to think. God knew what he was doing when he made you, gave you the parents he gave you all of the experiences in life that you've had up until now. And now in chapter 24, Paul's on trial in Caesarea before Felix. We're in the process of studying Paul's defense before Felix, and we've already considered verses 1 through 15, but to set the context, I want to read through that for your benefit. And after 5 days, after Paul arrived in Caesarea, and that probably includes not only the day that he arrived, but also the day that Ananias arrived. After 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, "Seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence," meaning through your forethought. Butter him up. That's what he's doing. "We accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee." And I'm thinking, I'm sure Felix was thinking the same thing. "Don't be tedious unto me. I've got other things I need to do. I pray thee that thou wouldst hear of us thy clemency with your kindness," or with your courtesy, "a few words." If I'm Felix, I'm thinking, I hope it's very few. "For we have found this man," meaning Paul, "a pestilent fellow, a menace, and a mover of sedition," meaning someone who causes dissension among all the Jews throughout the world, "and a ringleader of the sect," meaning a chief leader of the heretical sect of the Nazarenes, "who also hath gone about to profane," meaning to desecrate, "the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law." it's not mentioned here how badly they were treating Paul when they found him. They were beating him as much as they could. God protected him, or he would have been beaten to death. But the chief captain, Lysias, came upon us and with great violence took him away out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come unto thee by examining of whom thou mayest take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him. When you examine him, you'll really realize what he's done. And the Jews assented, saying that these things were so. All these religious rascals are lying. Can you imagine that they would be like that? Well, you can, because they were. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, "For as much as I know that thou hast been of many judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship." It's only been 12 days since I went to Jerusalem, and I've been here the last 5 years. So he wasn't in Jerusalem very long. "And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, raising up or causing an uprising among the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof or of which they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, toward God, which they themselves also allowed, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust," meaning both of the righteous and of the unrighteous. Paul stated that he also did his best to maintain a clear conscience toward God as well as toward men. "And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." And is transitioning to Paul's statement in the sense of now. "Herein" suggests "in this," and it's referring to Paul's statement about himself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men, which follows. "Do I exercise myself," suggests I am engaging myself in, or I myself am practicing. And it's understood in the sense of I am applying myself to a commitment, or I'm doing my best. "To have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." And it indicates what Paul is always trying to do. It is to have an unblemished or blameless conscience or moral consciousness or clear conscience in everything, meaning in every respect, in every way, or always toward God and toward men. You know, you and I should likewise always strive to have a clear conscience in everything toward God and toward people, just like Paul did. After being gone from Jerusalem for many years, Paul had returned to bring gifts for the poor and to make offerings. Now, I ask you, how many is many? Well, we don't know, do we? It's more than a few, okay? It's more than several, but we really don't know. It's been quite a while. "I came," indicates that Paul had come back to Jerusalem. "To bring alms to my nation and offerings," indicates the purpose of Paul's coming back to Jerusalem. It's used in conjunction with "came," indicating purpose. Its tense indicates that its action was intended to occur after the action of Cain. He brought these alms and offerings with him, and he came to bring alms and offerings, meaning to do charitable giving and sacrificings, or to offer sacrifices. Alms is referring to the collection he had brought with him, which had been gathered from the churches in Macedonia and Achaia for the impoverished saints in Jerusalem. Certain Jews from Asia Minor had found him in the temple purified without a crowd. Now, Asia Minor would be where one of the cities would have been Ephesus. And not making any disturbance. He was in the temple by himself, not making any disturbance. He had not tried to desecrate or profane the temple in any way, as charged by Tertullus in verse 6. Now, I remind you, people who were not priests could not actually enter the temple building. So when it says he's in the temple, it means he's in the temple precinct. He's in one of the courtyards outside of the temple building. Whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult. Now, Asia here is not India or China. It's a place in Western Turkey, Asia Minor. Whereupon is in which things and refers to what he was doing in making the offerings in connection with the Jewish vow he had taken. Certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, as some Jews from Asia Minor found me in a state of having purified myself from defilement in the temple precinct, neither with multitude or crowd. Suggests that Paul was alone in the temple when these Jews from Asia found him. Nor with tumult, suggests not with a disturbance. He was not causing any kind of trouble when these Jews from Asia found him in the temple precinct. If these Jews who found Paul in the temple had anything against him, they should have come to Caesarea and reported it to Felix. Which is what verse 19 says, who ought to have been here before thee and object if they had aught against me? Who, of course, is referring to these certain Jews from Asia who found Paul in the temple precinct. Who ought to have been here before thee is who should have been present before you, Felix. Before thee has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, and it reads literally, who should before you be present. And object is and to accuse me, or and to bring charges. However, these Jews from Asia were not present and did not bring any charges against Paul. If they had aught against me is if they had anything against me. Ought has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text. It reads literally, if aught or if anything they had against me. The mood of had implies that their having something against Paul was only remotely possible. Of course, they did not actually have anything of which they might legitimately accuse him, because he had done nothing wrong. The ones, meaning the Jewish high priest and the elders accusing Paul before Felix, should speak up if they found any wickedness in Paul when he appeared before the Sanhedrin. Or else let these same here say, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council. This is referring to his meeting in the council in chapter 23, or else is simply or. Verse 20 is a conditional statement whose structure in the Greek text indicates that for sake of discussion, it is assumed to be true. Let these same here say, is let these themselves who are here say or tell or state. It is the conclusion of the conditional statement. Now, as I've said on many occasions, ordinarily, The condition comes before the conclusion. However, when the speaker wishes to emphasize the conclusion, he reverses this normal order, as Paul has done in this statement. Now, you think back to your childhood years, and for some of us, that's at least a couple of decades, all right? Maybe more. Who knows how many? It's hard to keep track of it anymore, isn't it? Well, yes, it is. But if one of your parents, like mom or dad, said something to you, and if it began with the word if, it's a condition. But when the conclusion is stated first, you're going to get it if you don't get in here right now. You knew it's time to move, okay? Of course you did. You knew the difference. This is not something that's unusual in Greek. When you want to emphasize the conclusion, you put it in front of the condition. Let's say it's a third person imperative or command for which English has no equivalent. It means they must say. The condition is, if they have found any evil in me while I stood before the council. And the structure in the Greek text indicates that, for sake of discussion, it's assumed to be true. But it is not true. They did not find any evil in Paul. If is therefore to be understood in the sense of assuming that. They have found, where they refers to the chief priest Ananias and the elders who were represented the Sanhedrin, is if they found. It has been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. Any evil doing in me is any or some wrong, any or some crime, any or some misdeed in me. Paul, while I stood before the council, is used in conjunction with have found, indicating time, and its tense indicates that its action occurred at the same time as the action of found. That's why it's translated while I stood. It's understood in the sense of when I stood before the Sanhedrin. It's during that time when he was in their presence, basically answering to them. The only thing Paul did before the Sanhedrin was state that he was being judged because of his belief in the resurrection. Well, that did kind of upset things there, as you recall. Except it be for this one voice that I cried, standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day. Except it be for this one voice, suggests, unless it is concerning this one voice, which suggests any wrong other than this one outcry, meaning this loud or this solemn declaration. Voice is used to indicate what the voice gives expression to, and it's understood in the sense of call, cry, outcry, loud declaration or solemn declaration. That I cried standing among them is referring to Paul's loud declaration. It's understood in the sense of which I, Paul, cried or called out loudly while standing among them, meaning while standing among the members of the Sanhedrin. And what Paul declared is, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day. It's been translated as a direct quotation of what he said. Touching the resurrection of the dead, we would understand as concerning or about the resurrection of dead ones. And it's been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, and this emphasis has been retained in a King James translation. I, which refers to Paul, is emphatic. I am called in question by you this day. I am being judged today by you members of the Sanhedrin, or I am on trial before you today. Well, of course, he's not volunteering that half the group or more were Sadducees who denied the possibility of a resurrection, and the Pharisees making up the other portion of them that believed in the resurrection and believed in angels and believed in miracles. The Sadducees denied all of them, so it's no wonder he said this, and he did so intentionally, splitting the group so that they would fight among themselves and he would not have to go on with their meeting. It was a clever thing that he did, and I'm sure God the Holy Spirit directed him to do this. Now, Felix would have understood this, all right? He knew enough that he would have understood what Paul did. Felix, who understood the way of Christianity, adjourned the hearing until the chief captain would come from Jerusalem. At that time, he will render his decision. According to verse 22, and when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them, said, when Lysias the chief captain shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And transitions to what happens next in the sense of now or then. When Felix heard these things, it's used in conjunction with deferred, indicating time. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of deferred, and it's understood in the sense of after Felix heard these things. These things refers to the statements made by Tertullus, to which the other Jews agreed, and the statements made by Paul. Having more perfect knowledge of that way is used in conjunction with deferred, indicating cause. And it's suggesting because he knew or because he understood more accurately the things of that way. That way refers to Christianity. He may not have been a saved man, and he likely was not. However, he was familiar with Christianity. He deferred them. Means that he, Felix, adjourned them. Where them refers to the Jews and Paul. It means he adjourned the proceedings and delayed his decision by putting them off. Although Felix knew that Paul was innocent, rather than offending the Jews, he continued the case. Now, you know what that would mean. Paul's going to stay confined in Caesarea until the case is decided. Although it may have been disappointing to Paul, it was God's will for Paul at this time in his life. God could have directed Felix to release Paul, but he didn't. When things happen which are out of our control, they indicate God's will for us in that situation. And we should accept them as God's will for us, even though we may not understand the reasons for what has happened. But remember, God is the one who's in control of your life. So why did you get the promotion? Or why didn't you get the promotion? Why did your car stop running during the middle of the night out in the middle of nowhere? Or why did it stop running after you got home in your driveway? See, God's in control. You're not. I'm not. Why did a kangaroo hop out in front of your car on the way home? Well, it didn't. Yeah, you're right, it didn't. But you understand the point. God directs kangaroos to where they hop, or dogs to where they run. or bears, where they go. God directs a lot of things. You don't even think about it. Later on, it may become clear. Let me ask you. I know it's been a while since most of us have had flat tires because they've really improved things in the tire industry. That doesn't mean we don't have them still. But where would you rather have the flat tire? Well, I'd rather not have it at all. But if my tire is going to be flat, I would prefer it to be in my driveway. And that I find it right away. I don't want it out on some highway with no shoulder in the middle of nowhere when it's dark. I've had that experience. I'm sure some of you may have as well. We need to be sure we thank God that He took care of that right then and there and accomplished His purpose, whatever that was, instead of having it be somewhere where we weren't. Maybe God was protecting us by keeping us from driving out where we would have gotten into a bad wreck. We don't know. But thank God for it. He's in control. Later on, it may become clear. In Paul's case, Felix heard him again regarding faith in Christ, and so did Drusilla, his wife. I don't know what your book says, but my note says, and do did. That should have been an S that I missed, but the spell checker doesn't catch that one. They may have been and probably were other reasons as well. And said is used in conjunction with deferred, indicating a fact in addition to deferred. Its tense indicates that its action occurred at the same time as the action of deferred. And what he said is, when Lysias the chief captain shall come down, meaning come down or descend from Jerusalem, I will know the uttermost of your matter. When is whenever, because its time is uncertain. Lysias, the chief captain, is Lysias, the commander or military tribune in Jerusalem, who had sent Paul to Caesarea, shall come down, means come down from Jerusalem to Caesarea. I will know the uttermost of your matter, suggests. I will determine the things concerning you. Your, because it starts with Y, is plural and refers both to Paul and to the Jews who were present. It means that whenever Lysias comes down and testifies regarding what took place in Jerusalem, he, Felix, will decide the case. Whether Lysias ever came is not clear. But in my thinking, it seems unlikely. He was rid of the problem, and he was glad to be rid of it, I'm sure. So a centurion was commanded to guard Paul, but to permit him to have some freedom and to allow friends to come and meet his needs. He'd be there for more than 2 years by the time he leaves. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And he commanded is used in conjunction with deferred in verse 23, indicating a fact in addition to deferred. Its tense indicates that its action occurred at the same time as the action of deferred. And it's understood in the sense of and he, meaning Felix, ordered. A centurion to keep Paul is the centurion to guard Paul and to have him let him have liberty, suggests, but to have some liberty or some freedom, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. It means to prevent no one of his associates to render service, to serve or to be helpful to him, or to come to him. This was a different kind of imprisonment than you would expect in this country. When we have somebody locked up, we don't have ready access available to them. Sometime later, Felix came with his Jewish wife and listened to Paul concerning faith in Christ. And after certain days, how many days are certain days? Well, we have no way of knowing. When Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And transitions to what Luke reports as happening sometime later. And it's understood in the sense of then. After certain days is after some days or some days later. How many days later is not indicated. What was Paul doing during the interim? We don't know. What would you be doing? I don't know. What did I do last week most of the time? Well, I don't remember some of those things. It goes with my wife getting older, with my not remembering some of the things that I used to remember. It's rough to have a wife that's getting older all the time, isn't it, men? Of course it is. Now, my wife might have a different take on that one. She might think it's rough having a man who's getting older all the time, more and more decrepit, and I'm having to do more and more things for him that he ought to be able to do for himself, or that he used to be able to do for himself. I'll stop putting words in my wife's mouth before I get into too much hot water here. Well, what do we know about Drusilla? She was a Jewess. When Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, is used in conjunction with sent, indicating time. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of sent, and it's understood in the sense of after Felix came together with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewess. A Jewess may mean that she was a Judean, somebody who lived in the area or territory known as Judea, but outside of Jerusalem. Or it may mean that she followed the Mosaic tradition. She may not have been a Jew. She may have just been a resident of Judea. The answer is we do not know. Drusilla was a sister of Herod Agrippa II and of Bernice, which would sound like she was not a Jew. Their father was Herod Agrippa I, and their great-grandfather was Herod the Great. He sent for Paul. He, Felix, summoned Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ, suggests, and listen to him, meaning listen to Paul about the faith, about the belief, or about the trust in Christ. It means that he listened to the gospel message. Was this the reason Paul was kept there? Probably not the only one, but it was certainly one of them, possibly. And Paul reasoned with Felix about righteousness, self-control, and judgment. And as he did this, Felix became afraid and put Paul off until another time. Why would he become afraid? Well, it would seem to me that he would become afraid because he realized that he was not in good standing with God and was in trouble with God. But he didn't do anything about it, apparently. And as he, meaning Paul, reasoned of righteousness, temperance, that self-control, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Yeah, right. Whether he really would call for him later, nobody knows. As translated, continues the narrative, it might instead be understood as introducing a statement in mild contrast to his listening to the gospel message and be understood in the sense of but. As he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, is used in conjunction with answered, indicating time. Its tense indicates that its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of answered, and it's understood in the sense of while he, meaning Paul, was conversing or discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment about to come. Righteousness speaks of a characteristic of behavior required by God, but as an unsaved man, Felix didn't have any righteousness. Temperance is self-control. Paul also discussed judgment to come, or the judgment about to come, which apparently refers to the great white throne judgment following the millennium. In the Greek text, Felix is the subject of answered. Tremble is used in conjunction with answered, indicating a fact in addition to answered. And its tense indicates that its action occurred at the same time as the action of answered. It means, and became afraid, and was startled, or and became terrified. Felix's answer suggests Felix replied. And what he said is, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Go thy way for this time, suggests for the present time or for now, be going. A word appears in the Greek text which was not translated into the English. It transitions to another time and is understood in the sense of and, but, or then. When I have a convenient season, suggests when I have an opportunity or when I have time. You've probably been put off by people like this. I will call for thee. I, Felix, will call for you. Don't you come back to me. I'll call for you. Yeah, right. We've all heard that. I will call you to myself, or I will summon you. What was going on here is indicated in verse 26. Felix was looking for a bribe. So he sent for Paul frequently and spoke with him. He hoped also that money should have been given him of or by Paul, that he might loose him, wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul. It's used in conjunction with will call for in verse 25, indicating a fact in addition to will call for. Its tense indicates ongoing action occurring at the same time as the action of will called for. And it's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to will called for. It's understood in the sense of, but at the same time, he was also hoping that money will be given to him by Paul. Was Paul wrong in not paying a bribe? If God wanted him released, God was perfectly capable of getting him released without a bribe. It seems to me that he did the right thing by not paying a bribe, that he might loose him, in order that he might release him or set him free. Wherefore, introduces a strong inference drawn from the fact that he was hoping for a bribe in order to set Paul free. It's understood in the sense of therefore, or perhaps for this reason. A word appears in the Greek text which was not translated into the English, and it's used in the sense of also. Wherefore also he sent for him the oftener. Where he is Felix and him is Paul is used in conjunction with communed, indicating a fact in addition to commune. Its tense indicates that its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of communed, and it means he summoned him more often or more frequently or very often or quite frequently and communed with him as he was speaking or conversing with him, meaning Paul. You don't have to make God's will happen. Okay, that would have been a mistake for Paul. God's perfectly capable of moving Felix to release Paul had he chosen to do so. But he did not choose to do so. And that's important that we understand. We don't need to force something to be God's will. He's perfectly capable of bringing it to pass also. 2 years later, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, but he left Paul in prison throughout those 2 years in order to do the Jews a favor. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound, but introduces a statement in mild contrast to what Felix was doing in verse 26. After 2 years is used in conjunction with came, indicating time, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of came. It's understood in the sense of after 2 years were fulfilled or were completed or elapsed. Porcius Festus came into Paul's room. Is Felix received a successor, Porcius Festus? Or Felix received Porcius Festus as a successor? This occurred in about 59 to 60 A.D. Well, why did God have to keep him in Caesarea for 2 years? We don't really know all the whys, but it wasn't time for Paul to go to Rome. Okay? Was God the one that delayed him there? Actually, yes. God's the one that kept him there. He could have had a lot of ways of getting him out of there if he'd wanted to. Wouldn't you have gotten anxious to get out if you were Paul? I would have. Why would I want to be there, confined? Were you anxious to get out of high school? Were you anxious to get out of your parents' home? Were you anxious to get on your own? We all went through some of those things. I was ready to get out of my parents' home when I was about 13 or 14. But it wasn't the right thing to do, was it? No, I was better off to stay there where God wanted me to be. Felix left Paul in prison, willing to show the Jews a pleasure. It's used in conjunction with left, indicating cause. It's understood in a sense of because he was wishing, because he was wanting, because he was desiring to give or to grant a political favor to the Jews. Felix left Paul bound, meaning Felix left Paul in chains or in prison. He left Paul behind as a prisoner. The tense of bound indicates a state of being. He was in a state of having been previously bound or having been previously in prison. Remember that although Paul was kept in confinement in Caesarea, he was where God wanted him to be and was doing what God wanted him to be doing, although you and I have no idea of all that Paul was doing during his confinement. Let me ask you, what have you been doing during the last 2 years of your life? A lot of it may be just more of the same that you do every day. So what do you wives who are not working outside of the home do every day? Oh, clean, make beds, vacuum, do laundry. And then you repeat the cycle. When I was growing up, I know this is a long time ago, Monday was wash day. Tuesday was ironing day. I don't remember what Wednesday was or Thursday, but somewhere there was mending that had to be done because my sister was so rough with her clothing. Probably not the truth. Probably was my need for the mending. But Friday came. What was Friday? Well, I don't remember. Maybe it was cleaning day at a house. Whatever my mother did, that was the day, and it was going to be done every week. Well, pretty soon, perma-press clothing came along, and we didn't have to iron anymore, so she was freed up for a day. And pretty soon, the washing was automatic. You just put it in, start it, and walk away. Dishwashers, oh yeah, they had to be washed too by hand. Oh, and then they came along with machines that do that. What's a poor woman do these days with all her time? I know some of you do a lot. Some of you work outside the home. That's fine. But my point is simple. You don't even know what you've done for the past 2 years. We don't have any way of knowing what Paul did. But he did whatever God wanted him to be doing. A lot of it may have been praying. A lot of it may have been thinking. A lot of it may have been studying. We just don't know. But here's the thing we need to do. We need to be living faithfully for the Lord, maintaining a daily walk with the Lord, making the most of our time for Him as we pass whatever time we have where God wants us to be. What does He want you doing? Well, I can assure you He wants you being faithful in the services of this church, and I can assure you He wants you to be faithful in praying, and I want to assure you that He wants you to be faithful in studying your Bible. Now, if you can't think of anybody else to pray for me, okay? I'm always available for you to pray for me. I've got plenty of things that He needs to do for me and allow me to do if He wants me to, and so on and so on. Well, I trust that's been helpful. We don't know what He was doing during the days. We can only imagine. But here He is, in the will of God, in prison, although innocent. What's coming in our lives? We don't know. But let's just be living for the Lord. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You that we have this wonderful privilege of being here and studying this portion of Thy Word. Help us to be faithful in everything we do, in Jesus' name. Amen.